Ecclesiastes 7, verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. As we turn to it now, Lord, we pray that you would open up our hearts to understand, Lord, that you would meet us and change us and challenge us. Lord, may your word be spoken here. May it be heard here. And may you continue to bless the people who gather here in your name, Lord, that you may raise them up in holiness and joy and love and in unity. Father, we ask your blessing upon us as we dig in here now. In Jesus' name, amen. So here is a shocking statistic. A full 98% of people don't know the future. And 2% of people are liars. The truth is, 100% of people don't know what's going to happen to them tomorrow. 100% of people don't know what's going to happen to them today. None of us have any idea what's going to happen to us in the next 10 minutes, for that matter. We don't know what's coming next. Is that a light at the end of the tunnel? Or is that a freight train coming my way? You don't know until it arrives. The day may bring wonderful things. The day may bring tragedy. You don't know when you wake up that today you're going to be in a car accident. Comes out of the blue, a complete surprise. You're driving along as happy as can be, and then 1 second later, the world crashes in on you, right through your windshield. You don't get a heads-up email from God beforehand letting you know what's coming. Why is that? Or you don't know when you wake up that today you're going to meet the love of your life. There was a day when you first met the person you were going to marry, but you had no idea that that was going to happen that day when you woke up. It was a surprise. We don't know what the day will bring. Why? God seems to put us on track daily for either shock or surprise. We don't get to brace ourselves for what's coming next because we have no idea what's coming next. Love or heartache, pain or pleasure, success or failure, life or death. We don't know what's coming. Consider a few verses from Scripture. James 4:14. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Acts 20, verse 22, Paul says, and now, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. That great philosopher, Calvin, once said, and by Calvin I mean Calvin and Hobbes, not John Calvin, little Calvin, once said when contemplating life, once it's too late, you appreciate what a miracle life is. You realize that nature is ruthless and our existence is very fragile, temporary, and precious. But to go on with your daily affairs, you can't really think about that, which is probably why everyone takes the world for granted and we act so thoughtlessly. There's no punchline there. And therein lies the problem, because living in a world where we have no idea what's coming next, we would really rather often immerse ourselves in distraction, to not think about it, carry on with our everyday life. But the writer of Ecclesiastes says, no, you need to think about this. You need to consider it. You need to know that God sends both good days and he sends bad days. Why? Here's why. God sends both of them for the express purpose of keeping you in the dark about your future. What does it say? God has made the one as well as the other. Why? So that man may not find out anything that will be after him. You're not allowed to know. You may not No, I do not know. God has shut the door on tomorrow for a reason. And today, Lord willing, we're going to find out what that reason is. All right, so we don't know what's coming next. That can be difficult to deal with on its own, not knowing. That can make one uneasy about facing the day. Is it going to be a day of prosperity? Is it going to be a day of adversity? You don't know, but you got to get out there and find out. Hope on one hand, fear on the other are going to battle it out in your heart from the moment that you wake up. Hope for good things, fear of bad. That's how we usually respond to this difficulty of not knowing. But here's the kicker. It's not just what kind of day it's going to be. It's the range of the possibilities that's out there. The vast possibilities of what can happen to someone. We're not talking about getting all the green lights along Main Street on your trip to the city. We're getting all the reds. We're not talking about the difference between a good hair day and a bad hair day. We're talking about a much wider swath of possibilities between the day of prosperity that the Lord has made or the day of adversity that the Lord has made. We're talking about the difference between giving birth or having a miscarriage. The difference between being loved in your home or being murdered in the city. The difference between peace and war. The difference between a day of joyful laughter or gut-wrenching sobbing. That dreaded phone call in the night. That's the range of possible differences between a day of prosperity and a day of adversity. Now, oftentimes, obviously, it comes in much smaller doses. You have little blessings and little challenges, and that's good. Praise God for little blessings and little challenges. That is the norm. But the fact remains, we do not know what is coming. And the vast range of things that could be coming is enough to freeze your heart with fear. It can make you want to crawl under the covers and hide from the world. It can make you want to not think about it. But the writer of Ecclesiastes insists we must think about it. We must know that we do not know, as uncomfortable as that is. Look at some examples. Chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, verse 22. I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what is after him? Chapter 6, verse 12. For who knows what is good for man while he lives the few days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow? For who can tell man what will be after him under the sun? 7 verse 14, our verse today. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. 8 verse 7. For he does not know what is to be, for who can tell him how it will be? 9 verse 12. For man does not know his time, like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. More, 10 verse 14. A fool multiplies words, though no man knows what is to be, and who can tell him what will be after him? 11 verse 2. Give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you do not know what disaster may happen on the earth. 11 verse 5. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. The writer really wants us to know. When we think of Ecclesiastes, we often think of other things: to eat, drink, and be merry, to be joyful. And he commends joy. You have these thoughts in our mind, and here we see a main theme that he wants us to know is that we cannot know what is coming next. It's vastly important. And not only that do we not know, but he also tells us that God has done this on purpose. It's no accident that it is this way. God has made one as well as the other so that, for the reason of, God has done it on purpose, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. Our ignorance of tomorrow is by design. God has made sure of it. He's built it into our very being. It's how we have been created. Without knowledge of the future, things are like this because God wants us to know that we cannot know. We can remember the past. We can experience the present. But what's going to happen tomorrow, we have no idea. That's in the hands of God. We consider the parable of Jesus speaking of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. Right? The rich man, he has a great harvest. And he says, what am I going to do? I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to fill those barns. I'm going to tell my soul to rest, to take it easy. You have life for many years. He had all these plans. The reality was his life was going to end that very night. He did not know that the wonderful light that he saw at the end of the tunnel was actually that freight train coming his way. And he chose to trust in his own plans, his own strength, and he told his own soul to take it easy. No worries. And God called him a fool. The man's problem was not that he was rich, for we are told that God sends days of prosperity. That's in our verse today. And that those days are good. We are told we should rejoice in the day of prosperity. That wasn't his problem. Those are blessings. When they are viewed correctly, we should be joyful when we prosper. So it wasn't his wealth that was the problem. The problem wasn't that he was rich. It's that he wasn't rich enough. Here's what I mean. He should have also been rich toward God. That is what he was missing. His day of prosperity caused him to congratulate himself when it should have caused him to glorify God. He thought he had a handle on tomorrow because of his prosperity. And God tells him that he didn't even have a handle on today. At the end of the day, his prosperity was useless in predicting his future. At the end of the day, our prosperity is useless in predicting our future. 100% of people don't know the future. God alone holds that knowledge. There's nothing we can do about that. God decides whether it's a light at the end of your tunnel or whether it's a freight train. That phone call in the night. God has made the one as well as the other. And so the question is, what do we do with that? How do we respond to this reality? It puts us in a very humble position. It exposes our weaknesses, it exposes our powerlessness, our pride, our self-sufficiency, and all the rest. And it leaves us with only two options. In light of the power of God over your life and mine that we see here in the text, his sovereignty, in light of that, we can either trust him with it or not. That's it. And that's why he does it. That's why he made things to be this way. He has kept for himself power over his creatures so that we are confronted with God. There's no escape. Now, being forced under his hand like this, his sovereignty, you can either have hope in him or you can be terrified of him. All will fear the Lord, but some will fear him and love him, and some will fear him and hate him. Can you see how that works even in your own life? Once you understand that God is in control of your life, of what happens to you, that he sends both good and bad, you will fear him. He is sovereign. Fear in the sense that he alone decides your days of prosperity and your days of adversity. It's in his hands. Your life and death, your success and failure, it's his call and he will do it. He is not afraid to do it. He is God. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 45, verse 7. I form light. I create darkness. I make well-being, and I create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. There is no escape from the hand of God. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And you can either rejoice in that or you can be dismayed over it. He gave it all to Job, and he took it all away, and then he gave it all back again, and then some. And Job was declared righteous when he said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shall we not accept good from his hand and not evil? Job understood this principle well. God sends both the day of prosperity and the day of adversity. And no matter which one you are walking in right now, we are to bless the Lord and to submit to His will for us. But while I know that is true, that I must submit, I can read it, that is plain, I find it difficult. I still struggle with the question of how can I submit, and how long, O Lord, is this day of adversity? How do I submit to a God who would allow these extremes to happen to me, to happen to you, to happen to the world? How can I have hope? Solomon tells us here to consider. In the day of adversity, consider. I find often that when I do, I'm not comforted. I find fear. Because suffering is hard. And if the one who is able to prevent my suffering doesn't, moreover, it's actually from him that the suffering comes, I'm hardly comforted. It doesn't soothe my heart. And I am sooner dismayed than encouraged. And so the question is, how can we trust with joy the one who holds both prosperity and calamity in his hand? Now that's the question we turn to now. Earlier on in Ecclesiastes, in 6 verse 10, we read, "Whatever has come to be has already been named, and it is known what man is, that he is not able to dispute with one stronger than he." God is the one who is stronger than me, and I cannot dispute with him. That's one of the hardest lessons that you will ever learn in your life, that you cannot dispute with God. Things will happen in your life that you will want to dispute with him about. One of the hardest lessons for a Christian to learn is to humble themselves before God and not dispute with him. So what do we do in that situation? We're told here in Ecclesiastes, consider. In the day of adversity, consider. When the hard times come, consider. The Bible's great, quote-unquote, secret, if you will, to joy, to continued hope, to our perseverance is found in this word, consider. It is through remembrance that we come to know who this God is, who gives us days of prosperity and days of adversity. Remembrance, the secret to living better, doing things better, celebrating better, for that matter, is doing them through remembrance, not through forgetting. We think of communion. We drink to remember. We don't drink to forget. It is about remembrance, and then we proclaim what we have remembered. It is through remembrance that hope is rekindled in our lives. It is through remembrance that joy is released in our lives. It's through remembrance that our faith is strengthened. How can you find joy in suffering? Through remembrance. That's why we're told here to consider. That's the key. So then, we're going to take a little walk together here through some stories of Scripture in remembrance. We're going to consider as we have been instructed. So we're not just preaching today, we're practicing, because this is an opportunity to do so. We were told, when you face adversity, consider. All right? God is in control of what is coming at you down the tunnel. Let's consider. God is the one who parted the Red Sea for Israel. Do you remember? When the enemies of the people of God were descending upon them and there was no way out, God made a way out. Remember, you are the Israel of the new covenant, fellow believer. You are God's people. That's you in the story. And God cares for his people. Consider that in the day of your adversity. Remember, God is the one who spread a table in the wilderness for his people. When there was no food, when there was no water, bread fell from the sky and water poured out of a rock. Remember. Consider. God is the one who shut the mouth of the lions. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den to be torn apart, he was not harmed in the slightest. Remember, God was the one who made an iron axe head float in the river like a stick. Remember that one? Remember, in the day of your adversity, consider the floating axe head. What a preposterous story. And there it is. Consider. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not hurt at all in the fiery furnace when men died just by standing near it. Remember, God is the one who not only stopped the sun from setting for a whole day with Joshua. What did he do? Stop the whole solar system from turning just so Israel could win the battle? Not only did God stop the sun from turning, sun from setting for a whole day, he even made time go backward with King Hezekiah. Do you remember that? With the sundial. He made the sun go back 10 degrees as an encouragement and confirmation of his word to King Hezekiah. Did God just reverse time? And above all, consider, remember, God is the one who pardons the sinner. God is the one who saves the lost from their eternal death. You think these were impossible situations? Consider your own situation. God who saves you from your eternal death when there is no way out, God made one for you. God is the one who forgives, who sanctifies, and he glorifies his children. You, believer, will be glorified. He is the one who preserves you, who holds you in his hand. He is the one who loves you and cares for you and provides for you. He is the one who works it all together for good for you who love him. And he will move mountains to do it. Remember in the day of adversity, consider. He will stop the universe in its tracks to do it. He will send his son to die to do it. Jesus was willing to give his life to bring it all together for good for those who love him. It is to the glory of our great God that Jesus saves us through the death on the cross. God is magnified by the saving of his children. The days of adversity will come, and we need to consider. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So when it is not a light at the end of the tunnel, but rather you're about to be run over by that freight train, remember. Remember that all of it is for your good. All of it is controlled by God in the day of your adversity, and you will have them. You know. Consider it is utterly under the control of the one who loves you. It is not under the control of the one who hates you. It is controlled by the God who gave his son's life to save you from your sins, to bring you to himself, to glorify himself by glorifying you, by making you like Jesus. To the praise of the grace of God. That is what he is doing when the day of adversity comes upon you. We must be a people of remembrance. In the day of adversity, consider who it is who has sent it to you. Consider what he has done. From Psalm 105, remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced, O descendants of Abraham. That's you, by the way. Descendants of Abraham indeed. His servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen one. That's you. That is us as believers. This is written to us. Remember, you chosen ones, you children of God. Remember the wonders he has done. Never allow yourself to forget, because you will. I forget all the time. In my day of adversity, my heart is broken. I need to take time to remember. Read it over and over again. Remind each other. You come here to hear it preached and sung. You hear it again and again. You sing it. You remember and you proclaim every time you take communion. You are a chosen one of God, and he loves you and is working it all together for good. For you who love God, evil is never arbitrary. It's never malicious. It's never intended for your harm, not by God. And he's the one who controls it. Remember Joseph when talking to his brothers, right, who betrayed him. He says to them, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. And that, dear church, is your reality. That phone call in the night, that car accident, that heart attack, that loneliness, sickness, suffering, whatever it is of your day of adversity, God intends for good, and he is well able to bring that to fruition. Remember what he's done. He is God. He will see it done. There is nothing that can stop him from turning your tears to laughter. Nothing. Here is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, not prosperity, faith. Faith in God is the road to joy, and joy triumphs over the problem of evil through good deeds done to the glory of God. Revelation 21, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. He will wipe every tear from yours. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. There will be no more days of adversity. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Remember them. This is the knowledge that comes through faith. That's how you can see in the dark. Right here is how you can see in the night. Right here is what you consider in the days of your adversity. Remember, it is written to you and for you. So then, here's what we have learned. God has kept from us the knowledge of the future, the knowledge of tomorrow. You cannot know. Why has he done this? He has done it so that we are confronted with him. We are brought face to face with the reality of his sovereignty over our lives. This is the challenge, that great challenge to faith. This is the crucial question, because we are told that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot get there from here. The challenge of faith, that one cannot dispute with one stronger than him. Faith is necessary. Without it, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the pathway to knowing God. He closes the door to the future. It is shut. But by doing so, he opens the door for us to know him by faith. And knowing God is far more important than knowing the future. There's no comparison. The blessing of knowing God is infinite and eternal. That's why he does it. Trusting in our own knowledge is foolish, like the rich man in the parable. He says, take it easy, O my soul. You have knowledge of tomorrow. You're fine. And God says, no, you don't. Faith, on the other hand, will lead you to knowledge of God, which means you can not only know God, but you can love him. You do not know what is coming next, but you do know who is sending it to you. Therefore, you can have peace even in the darkest days through all of it, no matter your day of adversity. So as we leave here this morning and heading out into your week, whatever you have, remember, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. We didn't even talk much about that. We need to learn how to be joyful. We need to learn how to celebrate more, and we need to do it better. Joy is a command. We should be pursuing it. So often we feel guilty for being joyful for some reason. We need to learn to do it better through remembrance with one another. No one should laugh more or sing louder or celebrate better than you and us and believers with genuine joy, because God. And in the day of your adversity, consider, God has sent it and he loves you. Both the days of prosperity and the days of adversity can bring you joy Do you believe that? Can bring you fulfillment, can boost and strengthen your confidence and your faith. Both of them. Neither one has power over you. Because God stands in between and He is well able to protect and preserve His people. Faith is the key. Both of these days, prosperity, adversity, come from God, and God is good. Faith is the key to receiving from Him what He has given and finding the blessing and the strength and the hope to bear up under whatever it is that God has asked you to bear up under. Faith opens your eyes to see the unseen. The future is dark. And that's how we know that the future is bright. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are humbled under your sovereign hand. We do not know what is coming our way. We do not know the shocks and surprises. Father, that turns our hearts towards you because you do know. You have them well in hand and you intend them for our good. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our faith. As we face prosperity, may we not be full of pride. As we face adversity, may we not be full of fear. But in all things, Lord, drawing on your strength, knowing that you are good, and you are sovereign. Help us, Lord, to remember how you have saved us, how you have always saved your people, Lord, that we may be strong in the days of our adversity. That the world may marvel at how well we suffer. For the glory of God, for the glory of your name and the furtherance of your kingdom, Lord, we pray for this blessing upon us, that we may be a people who stand through sunny days and rain, steadfast in all of it because we are anchored in you, knowing that you have all things under control and you mean it for our good. May we rejoice in these things, find fresh strength to face our days. Lord, we ask that you would go with each one here, encouraging their hearts to stand faithful and true, to seeing you, to not worrying about the future because they know that you are there and you have it all. Lord, turn our hearts to you continually, that we may truly be a people of faith. May that faith lead us to great joy as we come to know our great God. We pray that you would go with us from here. In Jesus' name, amen.